9:22. It's the morning roundup. Allen Height, Derek Decker, heading into our second segment of the morning, talking college basketball strictly. It's hard to be at the top. Life is hard at the top. There is no clear number one overall team, in my opinion, this year, Derek. I don't know where you're at on this, but especially from what we've seen from these first week and a half of conference basketball action, I mean, it has been wild. Four unranked teams knocking off four ranked teams. We'll run you through the list real quickly. Number four, UConn falls at Providence. Auburn loses to Georgia. That was number 22, Auburn. Number 16, Duke losing to NC State in a pretty lopsided game as well. And then number 12, Miami falling to Georgia Tech. Is this the type of season we're going to have, Derek? It feels like everyone's just kind of going at each other, especially in conference play. And there is no real top team. A lot of parity this year so far. I love that personally. I'm not a fan of a season in which, you know, teams just kind of continue to move along throughout their conference. I think we might see that with Houston, potentially. Probably the easiest track of the top, we'll say, 10 teams right now projected. Also a note, this is the second fastest season in college basketball history in which we have not had an undefeated team at this point. So kind of an odd stat. It's kind of hard to follow that. But we have reached a point in the season where New Mexico fell. They lost two nights ago, and now we are where there are no undefeated teams, and it's the second quickest pace we've had in the history of the NCAA. That's pretty impressive. Overall, that just tells you that it's not a season in which one team is going to carry the torch. And I'll tell you what, if I'm KU right now, who some people have floated it out there that KU could be the number one team coming up, if they can jump Houston in the rankings, currently KU 3, Houston number 2, they might be the number one team. I'm not sure if I would want that number one distinction title.
Yeah, it seems like that certainly gives you a target on your back this year. I mean, there are a couple teams at the top that I could consider maybe being the best. I think Purdue is in the mix. I know they had the loss to Rutgers by 1 point, but it is what it is. You know, that happens, and especially in the Big Ten, it's very hard to win games against anybody in that league. That's another deep league, very similar to the Big 12. I think the Big 12 has probably the more elite teams in terms of the top of the conference being really good. I think the Big 10 has a deeper, talent pool, if you will, of teams all the way down, where 13 teams, in my opinion, in that league can beat anybody at the top. The only odd man out is Minnesota. So that's a tremendous league. I think it's probably Houston right now. I said that in the preseason. I thought Houston was the best team coming in. I still think Houston has the best defense. You're right about the fact that they're not going to have a ton of difficult games. I mean, you look at their schedule, Baylen, coming up. Their most difficult game coming up the rest of the year is Memphis. They play Memphis twice, once in February and once in March, and they're number 36 in KenPom. And those are their two most difficult games the rest of the season. So they're favored to win the rest of them, and they very easily could. I think they're probably going to lose a couple along the way. It happens every time. The Cougars most likely are going to win the American without a whole lot of trouble. But I just think the defense of Kelvin Sampson is one that travels, and they are so hard to play against because of the way that they play defense. It's not just a tip, you know, slow down the pace and pack it in defensively. That's not what it is at all. They don't play fast. Like, when they get a turnover, they slow it down. They're one of the slowest tempoed teams in college basketball. They're in the bottom 15. But with that being said, Houston is just so difficult to play against. And if I had to pick right now a team that is number one, and I think the one that's probably going to have the most sustenance at number one, given their schedule, is probably Houston at this juncture.
Yeah, it just feels like the safest bet, right? If we were in a, you know, a sports book or casino and they said, hey, who are you going to pick to get to this point with even the best record in conference play? You'd probably go with Houston for sure. You mentioned the adjusted defensive efficiency rating. Number two is Houston, and then at the number one spot, no surprise here, really, Tennessee, a team that's kind of hung its hat on defense. And then right behind them, Rutgers, who just knocked off Purdue. So there are three top teams right there who have been really, really good defensively. Overall, though, you're looking around at some other conferences in the league. We talked about the Big 12, the Big East. Connecticut, not too long ago, was thought to maybe be the number one team. Now they've picked up two losses. Providence really, really beat them down at home. I mean, Ed Cooley's squad is always a tough out, for sure. That's an impressive win. Connecticut was ranked number four. Now they go down. Do you see another conference outside of, and I'll name these conferences off, I'm not going to include the American, we'll say SEC, Pac-12, Big East, Big 12, Big 10, pretty much all the Power Five, right? Do you see another team kind of slicing its way in that conversation? Gonzaga's typically your Power Five breaker, someone that can really make some noise. They haven't been as strong, I think, as they've been in years past. Still top 15 KenPom, sitting in 12-3 right now. But is there a team from a conference that maybe we're not talking about at the mid-major level that has interested you or has really come through it and been a surprise?
Yeah, and I'm going to be a little bit of bias here because I saw them in the tournament last season in person. I think St. Mary's might be that team. The WCC is an interesting league, and there are a couple really good teams. The two powers typically are Gonzaga and St. Mary's. They have been for the last 10, 15 years. But if there's a year where Gonzaga is not going to win the league, I think it's this year. St. Mary's has a tremendous team. They bring back almost everybody from last year, a group that nearly won in the NCAA tournament and made it to the second weekend. It's a good team. It's a very good team. They have the ability to really push teams to the wire, and it's a quality program. I like what head coach Randy Bennett has done with St. Mary's. They're kind of hard to play against too, and they shoot the three well. They space the floor well. They're good on defense. They slow the game down. It's a different type of. We talked about Houston being slow. Well, it's not the same at all. I mean, St. Mary's is one of those teams that's not going to heat the ball up. They're going to sit out and just try to defend the paint and push you out and make you take threes. And so I like what St. Mary's does defensively. So that's one potential team. I think you could maybe start to bring in, maybe like a San Diego State or something like that. But I think the Mountain West is really deep, but I think the hype is a little bit too high. And the reason for that is because there's really nobody, in my opinion, that has a legitimate shot right now of making it to the second weekend, save for maybe San Diego State. It's just a really good, solid, top-to-bottom conference this year, maybe as solid as it has ever been, and there are likely going to be several teams again, just like there was last year in the NCAA tournament from the Mountain West. But if I had to peg one team right now, not from a power conference, I would sit right now with St. Mary's.
I was going to toss Utah State in that conversation as well. You threw San Diego State in there. Utah State's looked impressive over their last couple of games, 13-2. They are just outside of the top 30 in KenPom. San Diego State sitting at number 22. So now that we've taken kind of a larger look at the picture in college basketball, let's focus in on the Big 12, keep it in the region here. News and notes last night from the Big 12 for me. Derek, I know you weren't probably able to catch the end of this game. It was an absolute thriller. TCU beats Baylor. It was back and forth all night, 88-87 in Waco. And the pace for me is what sets TCU apart. I think because of that, because of what they did on the road, they're 2-0 in conference now. I think they're a dark horse to win this conference. A lot of people were picking them. It's kind of a surprise pick to win the conference, so it's not like it's new what I'm putting out there. And there is no clear front runner outside of maybe Kansas right now. We've seen the struggle with Texas. I'm not sure if the win for Kansas State is that much of a cause for concern for the Longhorns. It potentially could be if it snowballs down, but I was impressed with TCU, especially after their start earlier in the season, losing to a mid-major team. I believe that was the loss against Northwestern State, I believe, was the TCU game there. But they're 13-1 now. Hey, haven't lost since that game. It's surprised a lot of people. They're not getting as much love in KenPom, but the pace of play, how good they looked down the stretch, I think they can just flat out wear teams out, whether they're on the home or they're at home or on the road or potentially in the NCAA tournament.
I hear you, and I like that. I like that pick. I think TCU, maybe we wrote off a little too early. We kind of pushed them aside after mm-hmm. that loss to Northwestern State. And if you recall, even on opening night, they barely slipped by Arkansas Pine Bluff, who missed a shot at the buzzer, and they almost won. And so we had kind of pushed them aside and said, maybe TCU's not for real. Well, now they've ripped off 11 wins in a row, third longest winning streak in the nation. And they look like a legitimate contender in this conference. And I just think, as we keep talking about this every day, it feels like everybody's a legitimate contender in this conference. I mean, there's nobody beyond number 40. I mean, the worst team in the conference right now is Oklahoma and KenPom at 37. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. You've got 10 teams there that can – I mean, this is far and away the deepest and best conference in college basketball And the Big Ten is a distant cry for second. And then it's kind of jumbled up from there. But the Big 12 has completely separated themselves from every other conference in college basketball. If you asked me right now, had Chris Beard and the whole Texas drama not happened, I would probably say Texas is the most complete and legitimate team in the conference. But that changed everything when that happened. So it's a more wide-open race. I guess the default pick right now would be Kansas, but they've had two very close wins. They certainly don't look like they're invincible at all. And so it's just really, really difficult to try to figure out and peg who might be at the top of the conference. I think we might have, you know, maybe Baylor is not quite as good. I think we're going to continue to circle and ask these questions all year long when these teams lose three or four games in a row because it's that difficult of a league. But I would be concerned a little bit if right now if I was in Waco. I think Baylor is concerning. The loss at Iowa State, again, not an easy place to win at all. And Iowa State's a very good defensive team, but that's not a great loss for Baylor, not one I expected them to lose. And so I would be more concerned about Baylor than bring the hype to TCU. But I guess my default pick for right now, just because of where Texas is at in drama, I'd have to pick Kansas.
I'm right there with you. I want another game like that from TCU. I don't want to see a letdown. Because when you run yourself hard like that, sometimes you're worn out for that next opponent. They are 2-0, though, at the top. You got four teams at 2-0. It's Kansas State, TCU, Kansas, and Iowa State. You tell me that at the beginning of the year. You say, here's what it's going to look like after two games through the conference. I probably would have called you crazy. I mean, especially when you look at the teams Kansas State had to play. You had to go to West, or you play at home against West Virginia, on the road against Texas. TCU, not as much of a surprise. KU, not as much of a surprise either. But Iowa State, opening up against Baylor, that's a surprise. That's a shocker for me. And then they go and grab another win there. It's fun. It's going to be awesome. And there's realistically 10 teams that probably should be in the NCAA tournament. Will that happen? I don't know. Could the entire conference potentially get in? It's just going to depend on how many losses they hand to each other. I don't know if we've ever seen that. I don't know if that would, what that would take for the Big 12 and get everybody in. And I don't know. I really, really don't. It's a fun year before, obviously, it expands up with some new teams joining. And it's going to be old-fashioned Big 12 play throughout the year. I also want to walk a statement back I made yesterday about the officiating. Not in particular in just one game, but I just felt like the officiating hadn't been as strong. And Fran Fraccillo made a great point on the game last night, TCU and Baylor, because he was very critical in that first week for the Big 12. He felt like that the Big 12 officials, it wasn't that they weren't, you know, calling a great game or doing a good job. It was they were surprised of the pace of the conference to start in these two, first two games by every team. Because you look around the league, whether it's the Big 10, the SEC, there are games that just like players go into thinking, okay, there's probably not a good chance we're going to be able to win this game. There are games in which officials walk in and say, okay, this is probably how this game is going to go. And you can kind of come in with a game plan of how it's going to be officiated or how you're going to carry through with the officiating. I think the competition level, how fast, how physical, how tough this league is, surprised a lot of the officials. And it's going to take them a week or two to catch up to it. So I want to walk that back a little bit. I don't want to be as critical and kind of reflect on that statement I made yesterday because I think it's important to talk about that and look at that perspective from the officials and from how you're trying to officiate a game when it is just that fast. I think that's a pretty fair point, Derek. I'm not sure your thoughts on that, but I just wanted to toss that out there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm always hesitant. It's hard to lump folks in officials into the same kind of conversation as a whole in the league, even though you see the same guys work every night. And I also think that maybe we are, you know, maybe we were pegging a little bit too much on a couple of critical calls that have affected Kansas, which obviously we're watching a little bit more than the rest of the conference. And just by the way, those two things happened at the end of the game, and Kansas was certainly the beneficiary of a couple of questionable calls at best that really aided them to win the game. I mean, if those calls go the other direction, we very well may have a different outcome. I mean, Kansas is high lashes away from being 0-2 in the conference. So I hear your point, and I think you're right. I think, you know, if you don't know, if anybody that's listening doesn't know that officials plan for games just like players do, like they go through and look at scouting reports and what they expect to happen. Like they have their own scouting report. It's certainly a lot different than what a team scouting report would look like for another team because they're scouting for two teams. But they're also thinking about, okay, who have we had this past year? you know, what has this guy done in the past? What are his tendencies? How are we going to call stuff underneath? And they get that stuff from the conference every week as well as they review things, and from the NCAA. So there's a lot of things at play, and it's a very complicated business. As I've mentioned before, you know, I was fortunate enough to have J.D. Collins on my podcast a couple of times while I was in college. In fact, my college roommate was his nephew, and so I've had an interesting relationship with J.D. Collins and the former director of NCAA officiating. So you get an insight into that stuff, and it's very intriguing to watch it all unfold kind of from the inside. So I've had a unique perspective to that, and these guys go through a lot, and they are very much in the scouting business, kind of like we are as broadcasters. It's all just everybody preparing for the game in a little bit different way, and you know, we still sometimes have to remember that these guys are the best in the business, and I would put college basketball officials up against NBA officials every day of the week. So have to remember that these guys are the best of the best, and they're trying to officiate and referee the best athletes in college basketball at this time.
I'm right there with you on that, Derek. I think that they have definitely one of the best, if not the best, league of officials in all the major sports. It's been an interesting first week and a half in conference play in college basketball. It's only going to get more crazy. Big 12 looks like they're at the top right now. Second break into our final and third segment. We're talking about the U.S. soccer mess with head coach Greg Berhalter. Everything going into that. We'll also go ahead and get you set for this upcoming schedule across our Western Kansas Broadcast Center network of stations. Talk a little high school basketball returning tomorrow night, and then talk about a new segment that we're going to be setting up for Monday's show. I'll be back here in just about 2 minutes. Stick it with us here. Morning Roundup on 99.9 The Rock.